On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat. Now he takes off the shirt. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
This is going great.
This is Tall Can Audio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back into an all-new episode of the Tall Can Audio Podcast. This is episode number 756. Hope you'll follow along with us on Twitter and Instagram, at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio, and make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this one. Really excited to be welcoming to the show today a guy who I've been listening to for quite a while now from the Toronto Mike Podcast. It's Toronto Mike. How you doing, man?
Hey, good, man. Thanks for having me. Did you say 756?
That's right, yeah.
Because today, later today, I record episode 754.
Okay, I saw we were running neck and neck there for a bit, so...
That's amazing, because, like, I thought I had, like, a good lead on everybody, but it sounds like you're ahead of me. That's unbelievable.
I think part of that is pandemic-related. Suddenly, I've had a lot more time to do these, and so you just kind of... I've ended up running away with it a little bit this year, but...
Well, dude, we're in the 1%. I mean, you know, how many podcasts hit 750?
Nobody. Like, nobody makes it.
Wow.
Yeah. Before we get into talking a little bit about your show, one of the things that we typically are able to do around here before the pandemic is have a couple of craft beers with our guests when we can get them into studio. Unfortunately, that's not on the table right now, but I know you've had a relationship for quite a while with one local craft beer. Before we talk about that a little bit, are you a craft beer guy, or is it just a good, you know, company to be working with? What's your feelings on that scene?
No, literally the only beer I drink is fresh craft beer. Like, that's it. So nice. Absolutely. Now, you're in Ottawa, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just COVID that is the reason.
Well, no, it's true.
Because I'm thinking that's a long bike ride. See you in 3 days or so. I'll be there.
What's your style? What kind of craft beer do you enjoy?
I like the IPAs. So, like, Great Lakes Brewery, that's the local fresh craft beer provider of choice here. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in love for a long time with the Octopus Wants to Fight. And beer. Lately I've been drinking Burst, and they've got one called Haze Mama. I got to be careful with it because it's highly potent, but give me a couple of those and then the real talk is really flowing. So
we had a guy named Graham Nichols on not too long ago. He's the Sixth Sens on Twitter. He writes for The Athletic as well. And he came on. He had grabbed two IPAs from the Dominion City Brewing Company, which is nearby to us. And they were 8%. And so they caught him a little off guard as we were moving through the show.
Well, that's what I think it's like. I don't know. The Haze Moment is like, I can't remember, 7.6 or something.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, you got to just be sensitive. You got to be aware of what you're doing.
For sure. Before we get into the podcast and some of the stuff that you've been up to, just tell me a little bit about the relationship you have with the Great Lakes Brewery, because they've been a sponsor for as long as I've been listening to you. How does that relationship come about?
Well, firstly, they're awesome because, you know, when you're dealing with a lot of breweries, you're dealing with like something owned by Molson or InBev, which used to be called Labatt's, and like these conglomerates. But like, this is a family run local brewery. Like, you can, you know, pre-COVID, you could head over to the brewery and shake hands with Peter Bullitt and have a conversation with him. And his dad started Great Lakes like over 30 years ago. So they were the very first sponsor that Toronto Mike'd ever had. And yeah, I don't know exactly, but I want to say that was 5 years ago that they came on board. And the relationship's been awesome. Like, we had events pre-COVID. We would have these TMLX events on the patio, and we'd have live music from bands like the Royal Pains and Lowest of the Low, and we'd all get together and have a good time. And they've just been like fantastic partners. So much respect to the team at Great Lakes and Troy Birch over there.
Yeah. And I've heard about some of those events, and you've had some pretty cool guests, and your podcast in general has had some amazing guests. I do want to ask you about that as we kind of move through this, but
sure.
I guess for my listeners who are, you know, a lot of them based in Ottawa, your show, like, why don't you tell us just a little bit about the concept of your podcast?
Essentially, I have on what I deem to be interesting Toronto famous people. That when I say Toronto famous, that doesn't mean they're only famous in Toronto. It just means they are famous in Toronto. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll have on personalities that are just as well known in Ottawa as they are in Toronto. Like, I don't know, like a Ron McLean or something like that, or a Bob McKenzie or whatever.
Tons of great sports guests, yeah.
Right. So like some of them are national. Like, if you're a TSN or Sportsnet person, well, Ottawa and Toronto have the same access. And sometimes it'll be like somebody from the local sports radio, which would be like here, TSN 1050 or the Fan 590, which I'm well. So basically, if you're Toronto famous, and I think you'd be an interesting conversation, we do what I call a deep dive. Like, we'll have a long form conversation, and there's been, well, not as many as your program, but we've had 754 of these. So it's been going great.
About 700 of mine have just been me and my co-host Rob, typically. And that's one of the reasons I've said a few times online that your show has been an inspiration to what I've been able to do around here. And that's, you know, once the pandemic hit and Rob and I couldn't get in studio together anymore. And he'll tell you this, I'm not talking out of school. As far as tech goes, he's like, it's like a trained bear, right? Like, he has no idea what he's doing on his end. So while we were trying to get up how we were going to do our show together online, I was sort of like, well, we got to do something here. And suddenly I'm thinking about your show, and I just kind of went, you know what, I'm going to take some swings, and I'm just going to see, right, if we can land some of these guests. And since we had Ray Ferraro or James Duthie or some of these guys, and it kind of took off that way through the summer because it had to, right? There just wasn't enough to talk about sports-wise, and we weren't able to get in studio together. So it was sort of your show that kind of gave me this idea of, well, maybe we can reach out to some people, and maybe we'll see if they'll come on, and we can just talk for a half hour, an hour about their career and you know, what they're keeping busy with through this crazy time and stuff. It was no coincidence. I'm sure that, you know, as everything hit, I had been on a bit of a binge listening to a couple episodes of yours that I'd missed, and said, I wonder if I can do something like that. That might be just a little bit different, but similar, you know?
Well, dude, that's awesome to hear. Like, that's, like, you know, that's awesome. Like, I had somebody who has a podcast, and he was telling me this story. He was telling his friends or his producer about what he wanted to do. And the response was, oh, you want to do the Toronto Mike thing.
Right.
And like, the whole idea that there's a model out there that people are emulating, which is the Toronto Mike model, like, that just, like, that just feels good to hear. You know, that's the highest form of flattery. That's amazing.
So you're at episode 754. When you set out at episode 751, or excuse me, at episode one.
Which only last week, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. at episode one, do you know right then that's what you want to do, that you're going to be looking for guests every week and trying to have these conversations? Or when you set it up, what was your vision for it?
No way. Like, so at the beginning, my model was the same as what you've done for 700 something episodes. Like, yeah. Like, it was me and my co-host Rosie shooting the, can we swear on this program?
Sure, we can.
Shooting the shit, because I was talking to Humber College this morning and I changed it to shooting the breeze.
Yes.
And when I say shooting the breeze, it's like, that doesn't sound very authentic.
Nah.
Like, we would shoot the shit about, you know, like, if we were doing that today, it would be like chatting about, I don't know, COVID-19 stuff. And we might be talking about the election and all these different like topical things. It took a while for me to figure out what Toronto Mic'd was. Like, it took a long time. It might have been in the episode 60 something. Like, it might have been episode 61 or 62 when I had that moment, like that epiphany where I'm like, wait a minute, that this is what Toronto Mic'd is, and I've been basically like following that template ever since. So that's 8 years now.
Wow. What is it? Do you remember who that you're in the 60s? Who is it that's your first email or your first message or the person you first reached out to try to get?
Well, this is a funny story. So like many things, including, you know, Great Lakes coming on board, it's not really me doing something. It's sort of like me reacting to something. So I had written about, when I started Toronto Mic'd, I wrote on my blog, torontomic.com, I wrote about, you know, having a podcast studio in my home. And I think I called it like Toronto Podcast Studio. And I wrote about it, and Google likes torontomic.com entries. So like when people would Google, at that time, when you'd Google Toronto Podcast Studio, I was number one in this article. So ready for this? So Jonathan Torrens, do you know that name?
Yeah. So, Jonovision.
Jonathan Torrens, who lives in Nova Scotia, he's in Toronto to do something with the CBC, but he wants to start a new podcast. He's been having chats with the former drummer of Our Lady Peace, Jeremy Taggart, about starting a podcast. So he's, I don't know, in a hotel in Toronto, Googling Toronto Podcast Studio, because he's looking for somewhere to start this thing because he's in town.
Right.
Anyway, he ends up on my site. So he sends me a note. Hey, I'm interested in renting your studio to do this podcast. I'm no fool here. I see it's from Jonathan Torrens. I was watching Street Sense. Yes. I'm a big, you know what I mean? I'm a big Street Sense guy. I watch Jonovision. I write back and I'm like, are you the Jonathan Torrens? He's like, yes, I'm the Jonathan Torrens. And I tell him, hey, I'm sorry, I don't actually do that. Like at the time, I didn't do other people's podcasts. Mm-hmm. I do now, but I didn't at the time. I said, but if you're willing to come over, I would love to have you on Toronto Mic'd. And he writes back and he says, like a good Canadian boy, he says, okay. He jumps in a taxi. I don't know what it was. He told me it was like $40 each way or something. He shows up at my door. We sit down in my studio. We do this deep dive, which has become like the model for Toronto Mic'd. It's pretty awesome. Then he just takes a cab back to CBC. And then I realized in that moment, as I was kind of seeing him outside my door waiting to get picked up, I realized, oh, wait, like this is what Toronto Mic'd is. We had a great conversation about Trailer Park Boys and Jonovision and Street Sense. And I call it, you know, like real talk deep dive.
Yeah.
I don't know, episode 60 something. And that's when it crystallized. Like the model, that's what I do. I invite people like Jonathan Torrens over and we talk about everything. And it's long form, deep dive, real talk. And that's what it is. And that's what we're doing today.
And so it's right there in your basement. And you have had some huge names, you know, on the Canadian broadcasting front, both in sports and non-sports. Is there anybody, as you were working your way through this, that you knew, like, this is a long shot. I'm never going to get that person. But sure enough, at some point, there they are sitting in your basement.
Yeah, there's been a few names. Like, I mean, Dan Shulman, for example. I'm a big Blue Jays fan.
Yeah.
And I'm of the opinion that, you know, now that Vin Scully has retired, I feel comfortable saying that Dan Shulman is the greatest play-by-play announcer. Forget Canadian. Forget, you know, GTA. Mm-hmm. I think he's the greatest active play-by-play guy right now, in my humble opinion. So like the fact that Dan Shulman's gonna come over and sit down in your basement while you pepper him with questions for an hour or so, like to me, I still kind of think, okay, this is pretty awesome. And there's been a bunch of examples like that where you're like, okay, you know, when Strombo comes over and says, take, you know, have all the time you want to ask me anything, and you're like having a, you know, face-to-face with George Strombolopoulos in your basement, you're like, oh, you know, this is pretty cool that, you know, Strombo's like here and being so cool about this. And I felt so comfortable. I could ask him anything. We covered everything. And I mean, it's just when when I look back at it, I'm like, how the heck did this happen? But it's one of those things, like, I don't want to use an analogy like a boiling frog or anything like that. But like, if I were to tell myself 10 years ago that, you know, this is where we're at, I'd be like, that's impossible. But if you slowly build something and slowly kind of add this and that and start to build on that and improve on that, then, you know, in 8 years, you could go from zero to this.
Right.
And it did, basically.
And, you know, you've had all of the the Toronto base. Like, there's not many names left that I could think of. I have seen you, and he'd be a dream guest for me as well, but I've seen you get tied up a couple times trying to get Bob McCowan, and he's got you confused with somebody else.
Yeah, clearly. Like, I've, for the record, I'm no longer particularly interested in having Mr. McCowan.
Fair
on the
enough, yes.
But I was keen to have him as guest number 500.
Right. And he's got you tied up, I think, with Mike in Buffalo, maybe, or someone who's been critical.
Okay, so there's a local blog called Toronto Sports Media.
Yes, okay.
Which has nothing to do with Toronto Mike, even though the two guys who write at it, one of them's been in the basement, and one of them I've met for coffee several times. Like, right. I know these guys personally, but I have nothing to do with Toronto Sports Media. .com. I'm TorontoMike.com. But the gentleman, the guy who hasn't been in my basement, he goes by the handle Mike in Boston.
Right.
And so, yes, Bob McCowan has confused Toronto Mike with Mike in Boston, and it made for a very awkward moment on Twitter, that's for sure. But then kind of having that experience with him, it sort of took all the, like, you know how you want a guest because you're interested in having this chat. And then that guest is kind of a dink, and you realize, like, I don't really want to have that guy over to talk. Like, I just lost interest in the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I'll be honest, like, Bob is a guy that, you know, made me want to do a show like this. For as long as I can remember, I listened to McCowan on primetime, and I know he is right. A bit of a prickly guy and whatever. But there is someone else, and we don't need to name any names, that I, for the longest time, thought of as one of my broadcast heroes, and I still think he's a fantastic broadcaster. But Twitter has let me into this world where I can kind of see his political views a little bit, and you just kind of, you know, I'm kind of losing a little something, and it sucks because I still think he's really good at his job. But unfortunately, now you kind of end up with this insight that maybe you wouldn't have had pre-Twitter, and it's kind of cooled me on him a little bit. It sucks in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I know who you're talking about.
You probably
about. I
don't, do.
Okay, well, that person, I made the mistake of asking that person on my show as well, and I also have lost all interest.
Okay.
In that.
So let me ask you this then, Mike. What's the, obviously, you're a huge sports fan. When you started looking at these guests and determining that it was going to be Toronto famous, did you have a leaning one way or another? Because now there's DJs and music guys and standard radio guys. There's also tons of local and national sports media guys who've been on your show. Did you kind of have a preference when you got started, or was it just anything Toronto famous was going to fly here?
Yeah, no preference, but I had these sweet spots, like nostalgic sweet spots. For example, and this is very Toronto, and I know you're Ottawa, so a lot of this...
I grew up in the GTA before I moved, so that's why I know a lot of the... That's why I love your show, all these names you're having on. I grew up hearing, right? So
okay, then I'll speak to you, which is I grew up loving City TV during the Moses era.
Okay, yeah.
So I love having the old, you know, City TV people over, be it Much Music or the City Pulse or,
sure,
you know, Gord Martineau, Anne Ruskowski, Dwight Drummond, like all these cats. I like, you know, Master T. I have Erica M booked in a couple of weeks. Like,
nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
So there's a City TV sweet spot. Also, I love the spirit of radio CFNY, and I love all the jocks, be it from the David Marsden era or from the grunge era, if you will, of the 90s, when I was listening to Humble and Fred and Alan Cross and May Potts and we could, you know, George Jambalopoulos, yep, shows up, Brother Bill. So I love having the CFNY guys on, like, just in gals. I love having them on. So those are a couple of sweet spots. I am a sports fan, so I have a lot of Fan 590, TSN, Sportsnet people on because I love my sports. But my favorite guests probably are the 90s alt-rock guests. Like, I love 90s CanCon alt-rock.
Yes.
So if I could have the guys from Rusty or from Sloan or Lowest of the Low or Bare Naked Ladies, like, if I can have these people on my show, or, you know, get Mo Berg in here or the guy, Craig Northey from The Odds, I could keep going. But I have these cats on, and those are, like, my favorite. Like, I just love having the 90s CanCon rock.
When, and you referenced there a couple of, like, you've built a relationship with some of these people. Like, you're involved with Humble and Fred's show now, are you not? Or you got them up and running.
Well, I got them up and running, yeah. And then I kind of was like a silent partner for a while. And then I've been producing their show for over a year now. So I'm like day to day, I'm involved in
that's
Humble
so
and Fred's
cool. As a guy who, I think I'm a little bit younger than you, but who came up same kind of time with Jesse and Gene and Humble and Fred and these kind of outrageous, right, morning shows. And yeah, it is cool when you go back and you get to hear what they've been up to. I'll be on one of my favorite ones that you did, and it was just recently, I don't know why it spoke to me so much, because I'm long since past being interested in the type of music they played, but it was your Energy Radio look back.
Oh, Scott Turner.
Yes, and that was terrific, right? And in high school, I went through a bit of a phase where what they were playing, that type of music, was my jam, and I'm far, like, that's so far in the rear view for me now that I'm not into it, but I was still like, I have to hear this, because I used to listen to Energy all the time. Like, that was a really cool show.
Yeah. Look, that's good. Scott's a good example. So, because I have so many people over, basically, once I find a guest that gets it, like, you, when you get it, what it's all about, and you have the content, and like a Scott Turner is a good example. This guy is one of my favorite guests. So I've had him over several times now, and he keeps, every time he appears, he covers a different decade. Mm-hmm. So the 80s, he talked about, he did the CFNY deep dive. You're talking about the Energy 108 deep dive, which was the 90s. You know, his next deep dive, when he comes back, is going to be about, he was there for the Flow 90.
Okay, yeah.
This is the call letters, whatever, the Flow station in Toronto. And Scott, of course, his first time over, it was the deep dive of Scott Turner's career. And I'm telling you, one of my favorite guests, and I'm going to have him back.
Just keep milking it for all it's worth, eh? And
yeah, as long as he brings the content. Like, there's a bunch of guys like that I keep having on because they just bring the content. Like, Ben Rayner. Ben Rayner, I've had him in my backyard this summer three different times, and he'll be back because Ben Rayner gets it.
Tell us a little bit about that. That's obviously a COVID thing. We've had to move from your basement to a new location. Tell me about setting up the new COVID studio.
All right. So the last in-basement guest was March 13th, 2020. David Ryder, who writes for the Toronto Star. Mm-hmm. And then literally, like, I picked up my kids at school that day and they said, school's over. And then the new rule came into effect where I wasn't allowed to have anyone outside my immediate family in the house. Okay. This is the new rule, as you know.
Yeah.
So for two or three months, I moved everything to Zoom, which was fine. Like, I got to do some out of towners like Stephen Page, and I got to talk to Kish, who's in California, and I got to talk to Shirley McQueen, who's in Alberta, and Craig Northey, who's in Vancouver. Like, I got to do some interesting out-of-town stuff, and I did some nice episodes, but I started to get really bored with this. Like, and this is not this. Like, this is great, but, like, the episodes on Zoom didn't ever resonate with me. Like, I forgot they happened right after they happened.
I hear you.
But meanwhile, when somebody came over, like, forever, I could remember everything about the visit. So at some point, I realized, like, I can't just do this until we're all, you know, vaccinated or there's herd immunity. Like, I can't do this for 2 years or whatever. So I realized we could do it in my backyard from 10 feet away. So I moved everything in June to my backyard, and we've been there ever since. Now, it is getting to the end of the backyard season.
Yeah,
like,
quickly.
I went there in an hour. But, like, once we drop below zero, but we'll be out there tonight. We'll be live on Periscope today from the backyard. And I don't know how many more backyard sessions are left. But if I have to go back to Zoom for 3 months and maybe come back to the backyard in April or something, well, that's what I'll do. So we're playing it all by ear, my friend.
You got to get a little lucky with one of those mild Toronto winters. Hope for the best,
here's,
I guess.
Here's hoping. Well, we've had a mild November.
Certainly we have, yeah. Who, maybe, give me a name that, and it's an awkward question because you wouldn't have invited somebody if you didn't think they had something to offer, but somebody that you had onto the show that you were like, I don't know, like, this will be fine, but ended up blowing you away or being way better or more interesting than you would have expected.
Okay. So that's a tough one because it's like, who is this guest I have on with low expectations?
Yeah, exactly.
That is a tough one. There are a few guests who came over and then we hit it off to a point where we're working together today. And I didn't see that coming. Like, I just before I connected with you, I was producing an episode of Not That Kind of Rabbi with Ralph Ben Murgi. So Ben Murgi's a guy, like, I don't know, we're similar age. I guess I got a few years on you, but Ben Murgi was sort of like this, like a larger than life presence. I feel like he was kind of like this CBC guy. He had the talk show. Good looking, funny guy. And then he had Midday. And then, you know, the fact that, like, I work with him, like, you know, we mentioned I work with Humble and Fred, but I've been working with Humble and Fred's in some capacity since 2006. But Ben Murgi is a good example of, like, a guest. And I was happy to have him on, but he was really hesitant to come on. He didn't really get what I was about. Why is he lived in Hamilton? He's like, why am I driving to Toronto to sit in this guy's basement? Like, who the hell is this guy? But I was kind of persistent. And I think he at just some point just said, okay, I'll do it. And then the rest is history. Like, we just hit it off. So that's a guy, I don't know, I could tell you more. Like, sometimes someone comes over and I think it'll be like a paint by numbers routine one, like an Ann Roskowski. And then at the end of it, I'll realize like she delivered the real talk, like it was going out of style. Like it was just there's been some like stellar moments from guests where I wasn't sure. And Kevin Frankish, for example, his first visit, like he worked for Breakfast Television in Toronto. I didn't expect him to spill any tea because those guests can be awfully safe and that's never good for a podcast. No. But he just delivered. So there's a whack of, I could go on and bore you to tears, but there's a lot of examples of guests that really got it and kicked ass and took names.
Well, I'll be honest. One of the ones that comes to mind for me when, as you're scrolling through your feed, there's a pile of names there. And I had kind of caught up to your show. I've probably been listening for 3 or so years now, but you had a pile of guests before that. So there's times where you're scrolling back looking for, who might be interested in today. And one of the ones that I came across, and I've since this summer had him on our show, and he was always one of my favorite play-by-play guys in sports, but I didn't know if there'd be a ton there in terms of a deep dive, was Paul Romanuk. And I thought he was great on your show, and you had to ask him about some tough aspect, and he didn't want to go deep on it, but he wasn't shy about it either, and just saying, yeah, the way that happened at the team when they started up sucked, and the way people were dismissed at Sportsnet, he was pretty blunt about it. I thought that was a really interesting show that I don't know that I expected. I loved his play-by-play work. I didn't know if I was expecting him to open up kind of the way he did.
Yeah, no, which because Romy's been over twice.
I've heard them both. I guess I'm talking about the first one, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Romy was great, and that's why he came back. Romy's got a great Beatles podcast, by the way.
Yes, but he does.
Yeah, so there are, like, those guys just seem to, like, they just seem to get it. Like, you know who really, I guess I expected he'd be good, but he was better than I expected, was Jerry Howarth. Like, he just came in, and he was so honest and interesting, and he told such great stories. He's a national presence. Erin Davis, who is she? I know you're. I don't know how. I don't think she's known in Ottawa.
No, but again, I know her, CHFI, right? And
her. I mean, she was great the first time, but then the second time when she came in and talked about the loss of her daughter, who was not who died, passed away in Ottawa.
Right.
That's an episode. But bring your tissues for that one.
Yeah. Who is there, maybe, if you're willing to say, that someone you've been chasing and, maybe you feel like you still got a shot at, that you're still trying to reel into the boat a little bit here?
One name that pops into my mind as a guest, I haven't asked him in a long time because usually when someone says no, I actually rarely ask again or I wait a few years. But he didn't give me a hard no. He gave me a not now, maybe one day. And I think he'd be perfect for Toronto Mike because of where he's been, is John Derringer.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got, again, a lot of Toronto talk here, but he's got the Q107 stuff from before and now, but he's got that Fan 590 with Pat Marsden. I just think he's the kind of guy that would, this format would suit him.
When you sit down and you've got these guys coming in, how much of it have you prepared? You've got obviously some questions in mind, and how much of it is fly by the seat of your pants and, okay, he gave me an answer I wasn't expecting there, I want to follow up on that? How locked in are you?
The answer is it's a blend. So, like, for example, I depending on the guest, but if it's a radio person, I always, well, for anyone, especially bands and radio people, I always have audio elements loaded in.
Yes.
Because I should point out, Toronto Mike does not edit it at all. Like, it's completely live to tape. And never, there's no editing. So basically, I have my audio stuff ready to go live in real time, loaded up. And I always do my homework. So I usually have a Google document with bullet points of like things I don't want to forget or miss. Mm-hmm. And then basically, I have that guide where I can always glance down and see the guide. But I'm always reacting to what the guest says. So if the guest introduces something, and then we'll go in that direction. But I can always look at my notes and remember where I have to. So there's a lot of, in Toronto Mike, there's a lot of tangents. That's a big thing. It'll go down a whole different road. And then I've gotten much better at coming back to bring us back in line with the chronological deep dive.
Right.
So it's a combo. Like, you can't just stick to a script, but I need the script. It's not a script. It's bullet points, but I need it because I don't want to have, what's a good example? This is a bad example actually, but I don't want to have Dave Hodge over and forget to ask him about the pen flip because
right.
we were on tangent about music. Like, I have to ask Dave Hodge about the pen flip.
Yes, of course. Okay, that's actually a great example. And he's actually a perfect segue here because the next thing I had for you was the idea of kicking out the jams. And so people who haven't heard the show before, often Mike will have guests back a second time to talk about their favorite songs or albums. But you bring your 10 favorite songs and you're going to play some of them and talk about...
Play them all.
Yeah, that's true. Play them all, sorry. And... you know, why is this important to you? What does this take you back to? What does it make you think of? And just talk music with you. I guess two questions. First, how have you not yet been sued or taken down by Apple? But where does that idea come from?
That idea comes from many, many moons ago. I saw a tweet from Mike Wilner.
Nice.
And this tweet, Mike had been on the show, and he's a great guest. He doesn't live too far from me, actually. And Mike Wilner had a tweet about how much he loved Pearl Jam's 10.
Okay.
I loved Pearl Jam's 10. Pearl Jam's one of my favorite bands of all time. I was surprised that Mike Wilner was a Pearl Jam fan because I had him pegged as like a Duran Duran 80s guy. Like,
sure,
I just did.
Yeah.
So
I can see
I'm
that.
On a bike ride. I bike every day, and this is where all the ideas percolating come from. So I'm on a bike ride and I'm thinking, Wilner likes Pearl Jam's 10. Wow, I didn't know that. And then this little kernel of a thought was like, I wonder like what other music Wilner loves. And then I'm like, in my ride, I'm thinking, I would like to know like his 10 favorite songs of all time.
Right.
By the time I got home, I had already had this, we'll call it kick out the jams. Cause I was also looking for an excuse. Cause once somebody like a Mike Wilner drops by and we do the A to Z, okay, here's how Peter Gross got him the gig at 680. Here's when Scott Ferguson left for the team. That's when Nelson Millman tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, will you be our Jays guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got the role at Fan 590, et cetera, et cetera. Now he's play-by-play guy because Jerry Howarth retired. Like, we did that A to Z. But if I wanted to have a Wilner back on, what are we going to do? Just chat about the election in America and we're going to chat about COVID? No, the excuse to get a guest back to catch up and, you know, revisit some stuff is the kicking out the jams. So I started asking guests to return to kick out the jams. There's been, I think, about 80 of these so far and counting, and they're amazing because Dave Hodge or Stephen Brunt or Steve Simmons, I mean, the list of people who have kicked out the jams, Mark Hebscher, they, you know, what songs do these people, you know, as for what, you know, sports media people, what are their 10 favorite songs of all time? And more importantly, like, why? Why does that song resonate? Mm-hmm. And that's when you get these magic moments, like Vic Router telling you about sitting around the kitchen radio listening to 1050 Chum, and this song by the Mamas and Papas would come on, and how his dream was to be a Pip with Gladys Knight. And like Damian Cox, who's speaking
that's
of
the name I was going to mention, because
okay,
he is a polarizing guy, and him coming back to kick out the jams humanized that guy to the mm-hmm. point where now I still don't agree with a ton of his hockey takes, but I'm far less, you know, you see the Twitter dog pile and you're just like, yeah, he's still just a guy, right? Like, chill out, the people.
When this guy, you're right, it humanizes him.
Yes.
Because you're listening to him talk about the song he listens to as he drives from Toronto
yep.
to Hamilton to pick up his kid because he's divorced, which I totally relate to that. I have two kids from my first marriage that I don't have with me 100% of the time. And I'm totally, like, it totally humanizes Damian Cox.
Yes,
he's
does.
Just a father. He's just like us. And
yep.
you're listening to the song and he's kind of looking, he's talking about that feeling of driving and to pick up your kid or when you just drop them off at their mom's house or something. Yeah. And that's the stuff that comes out by kicking out the jams. I learn a lot more about a guest by kicking out the jams
with them. Absolutely. And it is. It's fascinating. Like, Dave Hodge is another one. I had no idea. And since listening to your show, it's been referenced enough times, I have found it that he and Stephen Brunt will both go see almost any band in Hamilton, right? Or right. where they're both living. But neither of those guys, before your pod, would I have pegged as these huge, you know, knows every local band, knows every old hole in the wall that bands used to play in, like those types of shows. And Stephen Brunt is not a guy who does podcasts. He doesn't do, you know, outside of his job responsibilities. He's hard to find, and you got him, and you got him pinned down, similar with Dave Hodge. Those are two fascinating. And again, Steve Simmons, and I disagree with Steve Simmons on almost everything I've ever seen him write, but to hear him come back, and same with Damien Cox, and do these sorts of things, and oh yeah, in 96 I saw these guys at this such and such bar, you're like, that's kind of fun, right? It's just paints these guys in a different light.
Absolutely. Like, that's why I just love doing them. And you asked that, you joked about how am I still, like, how have I not been sued or whatever? I don't have an answer for that. I'd rather break the rules and risk being punished than follow the rules and leave all that amazing content and fun on the floor. So I'm just a rebel without a cause, I guess.
Well, I respect you for that, because for a little while, as the intro and outro to these shows, I was using some different, you know, songs that I kind of enjoyed as the music bed underneath. And I got one cease and desist letter. I was like, okay, cool, done. Like, everything went back. I'm now using generic songs underneath.
Well, it's amazing you got that. I've never had one.
Yeah, no, I got just one from one record label from a band I like. And I was kind of like, okay, like, I'm sitting, I listen to your show every week, and I'm like, hey, come on. Like, how does this guy get away with it? It was incredible.
I mentioned Lowest of the Low earlier. So since episode one, I've been using Rosie and Gray from Shakespeare My Butt as my closing music. Mm-hmm. So when I had Ron Hawkins and Lawrence Nichols from Lowest of the Low over the first time, there was absolutely like a moment of nervousness. Like when I asked like if they were cool with it, because I so desperately wanted them to understand it as the tribute it was. Like that's the the most Toronto song from the most Toronto album by the most Toronto band that I adore. And I was really worried about that moment, but it turns out they love it. And again, it's been the closing theme for 750 something episodes.
So. Well, and it fits your show so perfectly, right? As the outro, like you say, and it just the rhythm of it and everything as you're wrapping up is great. And I think in a lot of cases you would find a lot of these bands or artists probably would be cool with it, but their business managers and record labels would not be. And I think that's often the most of us don't actually get to talk to the bands that are involved. So,
no, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Mike, this has been great. Why don't you tell some of our listeners, because one of the beauty parts of your pod is all these people that you have had on, as they make it to Toronto, have often made other stops along the way, other radio stops, and you talked about them. So there are plenty of names that Ottawa people would know, and on top of certainly the national sports guests and stuff. Tell people where they can find your work and your podcast.
Okay, so firstly, anywhere you find podcasts, if you search for Toronto Mic'd, you'll find the Toronto Mic'd podcast by yours truly, Toronto Mike. But here's a fun thing people can do if they have a couple of minutes. If you go to torontomic.com, I have a link at the top that says Notable Guests. And if you click that, I try to organize it so it's like by television, radio, music, print. Mm-hmm. But it just gives you like at a glance, you can see, oh yeah, Jack Armstrong was on, or oh yeah, Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall, or... Just Monday I had Joey Jeremiah on from Degrassi.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was Monday.
Yeah.
And that, like just today I heard from people, there was a lot of Kevin Smith talk in that episode because Pat told a story about Kevin Smith. And I got a note today by the people who represent Kevin Smith asking about him coming on. So it's kind of neat. And
do that. Yeah. Oh my God, have that guy. That would be incredible.
Well, you know, laugh, I guess, but... We're negotiating over time I get with Kevin. So I just don't want to do a 15 minute, 20 minute. So
I get it. But that would be a fantastic guest. And he's obsessed with Degrassi. So I'm not surprised that came up. And the fact that it led, that's awesome.
So go to torontomic.com and hit notable guests to see that. And if you're on Twitter, follow me at Toronto Mike. But dude, I love what you're doing. And I love the fact that I might have inspired it somewhere along the line. That's cool as hell. And good luck. I can't believe you have more episodes than me. I'm a little bit pissed about that.
Well, maybe by the end of the week, I've seen on Twitter, you're keeping pretty busy. So you may have taken the lead back here by the end of the week.
We'll see.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. And like I said, it absolutely was an inspiration and a guide at times on how do you do this. And obviously, done with our own kind of spin on it, but it was certainly the template on how to put this together. So love the show. Love that you made a little time for us, and certainly appreciate the inspiration. That's Toronto Mike. Thank you so much.
Peace and love to you, my friend.
That's episode 756. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And I hope if you enjoyed this, you will subscribe wherever you're listening to this one. We will see you all next time.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. It was a disgrace.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.